the Sunday in the octave of Christmas, which is what we're in the middle of right now. Don't forget that Christmas, the season of Christmas, only begins on the 25th of December, and you can really enjoy it now because all the stuff like shopping and all that kind of stuff is over with, and you can really focus on what's really important, which is the fact that Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, the eternal Son of the Heavenly Father, has come into the world, was made flesh, and dwells among us. And we can rejoice and savor in that over these days. And the church presents to us on this Sunday that falls in that octave of Christmas, always is observed as the Feast of the Holy Family. Because the life of the family is so central. It's part of God's creation. God is the one who invented the family. He created marriage and created family life, just like he's created everything else in the natural order. And it is the very basis of all human relationship. And we find the perfect model of it in these very beautiful readings that we have today, but that are frankly very ordinary. The virtues that are spoken of and held up for us in family life that we read from the Old Testament in the book of Sirach, or from St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, and that we see lived in the life of the Holy Family, particularly in St. Joseph today in the Gospel, are things that are frankly not very, astounding. They're not things that are a lot of razzmatazz to them. And therefore, in our world, really are not very highly valued. Not valued nearly as much as they ought to be, because they are the basis of a family life, of the way that we come to know and experience the love of God for us and grow in virtue ourselves. Because God intended that the family would be this place of refuge, this place where each member of the family is cherished precisely for who they are, not for what they do, are accepted and loved. And in this atmosphere, then, we can grow in those virtues and come to know what it means to be a child of God and a member of the family of God for all eternity. And this is the way God established it. Now, we live in a time where this model of family life is really under a lot of attack, to tell you the truth. Family life, these sort of things are seen to be these beautiful virtues, like he's talking about the relationship of parents with children in the book of Sirach, the honoring of parents. These beautiful virtues and that St. Paul speaks of in Colossians, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And over all of these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. These are the things that nourish and strengthen and form us to be children of God for all eternity. Like I said, there's not a lot of razzmatazz to it, to tell you the truth. It's actually best practiced in humility and simplicity and quietness, like we talked about in that cave, really, of the Nativity, where we see the Holy Family finding shelter on that first Christmas. Our world, frankly, is a pretty shallow world, a pretty superficial world. Very impressed with razzmatazz, with celebrity, with all these kind of things. I'll just point out to you, for example, if you look at televisions and movies, how many of them are made to show forth compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving, being forgiven, loving? Not many, I don't think. Unless you've been watching all the Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel. I don't know, maybe some of those together. But otherwise, these things are all considered to be boring, you know. But they actually are what we hunger for and what we need. I had the opportunity to be with a family over these days one evening. It's a big family. Most of the children are grown now and have gone off all kinds of different places. But it was very interesting to see how, with what great efforts they made to get home for Christmas. One brother actually driving about halfway across the country to pick up another one and drive all the way back, you know, so that he could be there. One of the members of the family, for a very good reason, not able to be there, actually, but who had written this beautiful, heartfelt letter to the family that was really very, very, very moving and very touching. And how this place was seen, again, and these are people who are out making their way in the world in lots of different ways, but to come back to this place of refuge, this place where the individual is cherished for who or he or she is, was so important to them. Actually, there was sort of a funny moment in the evening. It came up, although most of these, the children are grown, none of them is married yet. I'm not as worried about that as they seem to be, but they're is married yet. But a couple of the boys said, actually, I think a couple of girls that I dated, actually liked our family better than they liked us. Actually, they kind of put up with us to come over here and to be in this. And it's a place where other people, you know, tend to come. That's what's supposed to happen in Christian marriage, for example. It's one of the things that's prayed for at the wedding mass. It's one of the blessings right at the end of the wedding mass that people who live around you will find in your marriage and in your family a source of blessing and grace, that these beautiful virtues sort of go out and attract others. And that's certainly the case with this family. And so we see these things lived out, though, in the example of St. Joseph in the gospel today. St. Joseph, I think we could say, was maybe the original and the, you know, ultimate strong, silent type, all right? Because St. Joseph never says anything in the scriptures. Again, just like last Sunday, in last Sunday's gospel, and this Sunday, St. Joseph has a dream. He has two dreams in this one, actually, where angels come and speak to him. And he's told, get up and take Mary and the baby of Jesus and go to Egypt to escape from King Herod. And so, Joseph, full of peace, gets up and goes. And that wasn't an easy thing to do. And yet, it seems that Joseph had no hesitation about it. He doesn't seem agitated about it. He just does it. You know, one of the great gifts, another one of these great gifts that God gives to us that we associate with Christmas is peace. And peace is such a great gift. It was won for us by Jesus in his suffering, death, and resurrection. You know, the risen Christ, when the risen Christ appears to people, he always greets them this way. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And how often, though, do we allow that hard-won peace that Jesus wants to share with us to be squandered, to be thrown away on practically nothing? How many of you, well, maybe I should say us, allow your peace to be disrupted by the way someone in front of you is driving? How many of you allow your peace to be robbed for you by worrying about things that you have, over which you have absolutely no control? Yeah? Okay? Why would you sacrifice this precious gift of peace for something that is worthless? And it can be done. It's a choice. Peace is largely a choice. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love are all pretty much choices. We can choose to live that way or not. And God will give us the grace to do that. And especially when we choose to live that way as a family, in obedience and love and submission and all those other kind of words that are not very popular, we can know peace that the Lord Jesus came to bring us. We can claim our identity as children of God, because isn't that the ultimate source of our confidence and peace? That I'm a child of God, and so what can go wrong, essentially? And so that doesn't mean you don't have problems. Believe me, St. Joseph had problems, okay? It doesn't mean you don't have problems. But it means you face them with confidence and peace, with these virtues. And then when he then gets another dream, say, okay, now you can go back. Again, something not easy to do. He goes back, and they set up household in Nazareth. I was reading this morning from the Office of Readings this beautiful writing from now St. Paul the Sixth, Pope Paul the Sixth, who visited Nazareth and wrote this beautiful reflection on what life in Nazareth must have been like. You know, think about having the Holy Family as your neighbors. You know, when the women were gathering at the well and getting water with the Blessed Virgin, do you think there was a lot of juicy tidbits of gossip floating around? I don't think so, you know? Or when some of the men brought something in for repair into St. Joseph's workshop, do you think there was a lot of locker room talk going on? I don't think so. I think that there was this same sort of all these virtues. There was compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, forgiveness and being forgiven, and love. Supremely. I want to tell you about one other family. This is a family of a saint. The family's name is Subaru, not the car. but that's the family name of Saint Bernadette, you know, to whom the Blessed Mother appeared at Lourdes. And, you know, that healing spring she pointed out to Saint Bernadette to reveal to others. And Saint Bernadette's family was really miserably poor. Her father was a miller who had gone bankrupt. And they lived in sort of charity housing in sort of one room, the whole family. And, you know, St. Bernadette wasn't able to go to school much. She wasn't even able to go to catechism much because she had to do things to help with the family. And, you know, she was considered and mocked for being dumb. And but when her cause for canonization was being considered, there was an old man who had lived in the room above the Subaru family in that same, and he said the only thing that he could ever hear, where he ever heard voices loud enough that he could hear them in the room just above where the family lived, was when the family were praying the rosary together every night. In the midst of hardship and poverty and bankruptcy and whatever else, this family, that the only sound that could be heard outside of that home was their time of prayer together in the family rosary. No wonder a saint came out of that family. Well, saints can come out of yours too. And they're going to. If we will accept these gifts, these virtues that the Lord offers to us, and not throw them away on these silly things that the world offers us instead. And so today, let us look at the Holy Family and certainly admire them, but even more so, let's imitate them.